Wait a minute, it's not. Okay, it's going.
Okay. And now, tonight's second everyday expert is Anna Acciani, a resident of Chatham who has just returned from living and studying as an exchange student in Uruguay for 6 months. She would like to talk to you about her experiences and will answer many questions that you may have. She can even answer your questions in Spanish because she is now fluent. Her talk will focus on the cultural tea mate, which she will prepare and then share with us. And she's also our neighbor, so that's awesome.
Thank you, Dana and Annie. Thank you. As they said, my name is Anna Acciani. I'm 17, and I was just an exchange student in Uruguay for 6 months. And when I was there, I lived with an Uruguayan family. I went to the local high school. I just lived life as they did. And today I'm sharing the traditional tea that they drink called mate. And I'll start with that just to show you.
What?
Mate.
Oh.
What it is, well, traditionally it was, you would take, a farmer would take a gourd and he would dry it out and it would become, so they drink tea out of a gourd. And that has evolved, and now they have modern day mate with a metal rim covered in leather, like I have here. The inside is still an actual gourd, but it's modernized and easy to use, and it stands nice. And they the way they drink it is they don't put it in a tea bag or anything. You just have loose leaves in the cup, which is called the mate. And so you put the loose leaves, which is called the yerba, or the yerba, into the mate, and then you have a metal straw that you drink it through, and it's a filtered straw, so it looks like this. It has the filter on the end, and you just sip through this end. And the mate is popular in Uruguay, Argentina, Chile, Brazil, and Paraguay, and all countries do it a little bit differently, and they all kind of have a little rivalry about who is the best mate. And so I will be preparing it the Uruguayan way. They aren't that different, but it is hot. We're boiling water at the moment, and you can all try some. And it really is a big deal because it's a big part of their culture, because they, as soon as they can stand the bitterness or the intensity of the heat, they start drinking it when they're very young. And some say that you become a real man when you can drink the mate without without adding sugar, or if you have a desire to drink it by yourself, you're becoming a true Uruguayan. And it's also a big social deal. Whenever you get together or talk with friends or anything, someone will bring their mate, and you'll just, like this, you share it in a circle, and you have the one person who prepares and passes it around. So right now I will take these are just the tea leaves. Just little
green.
Yeah. You can pass that around if you like. It has a strong smell. Some say it has a taste of pasture.
It's not intoxicating.
No. It is a bit caffeinated though.
Well, no, if the kids do it, I don't think so.
Oh, that's right.
And what was really strange for me is when I first got off the plane, and you just see people walking on the streets, everybody has their thermos under their arm and holding their mate in their other hand. Everybody just walks around like this, and it's the strangest thing in the beginning. But you get used to it, and sometimes you wonder, why isn't someone carrying around a mate and a thermos? So here, where, do you have it over there? Thank you, Marie. So what you do is you fill up your mate about 3/4 with the yerba. The first time I tried this, when I arrived, I thought it was, it grows on you. It's a bit bitter in the beginning, but it's a big part of culture, and I really enjoy it. You put your hand over it, and you kind of put it sideways, so you have one side filled with the tea leaves, and then one side kind of empty. And first, you put a bit of lukewarm water on this side to prepare the tea leaves for the shock of the hot water. So right now I will put a bit of warm water. And the idea is that you'll put the straw on this side, and after you've gone through a few rounds, it starts to lose its taste, so you take out the straw and reposition it on the other side where the leaves are stronger and fresher. So I'll just put in a bit of water on this side.
The leaves just stuck to the side.
Yeah. And then you wait for a second.
How do you spell it? M-A-T-A?
M-A-T-E. Spelled like mate.
Mate.
But pronounced mate. And then, so now the cooler water is just soaking in with the leaves. And we are going to add a bit of sugar, just because it's our first time. Thank you.
Ramirez.
They not usually use sugar?
I mean, I've had it once with sugar, usually not. It is quite bitter, and I like it, but some people aren't adjusted to that. And then you take your straw, and you just kind of position it under the leaves. That. And then when the hot water is ready, we can pour that in.
Is this a tripod or?
No. You're welcome to come in.
There's no sign. I have no idea what's going.
There is a sign, actually.
Yes, it says experts.
Yes, we're having somebody local who has just spent 6 months in Uruguay tell us about drinking mate.
Well,
so you're welcome to join us.
Thank you very much.
If anybody has any questions while we wait for the water.
Boil the water, right?
Yes.
It's gonna be.
Yeah. Okay, we'll wait a second.
Eight of those.
I'm not one who would want to. I don't desire to drink it in the summer just because it's so hot out and the tea is hot, but Reeler and Brian's, they drink it year round. They really enjoy it. I love it in the winter. But it's still good. We'll wait.
Keep talking.
So the water has to be really boiling, just like English tea,
just
right?
Just like British tea.
Well, yes. And then, I mean, in the beginning, you pour it in the first time, and it's really hot on your lips because it's a metal straw, and you're sipping it, you're not just...
Yeah.
So. And traditionally, the person who is preparing it takes the first one to make sure it's okay, and then once it's all set, you start around.
Uh-huh. You pass it around.
You pass
That's
it around.
Piece,
and then when the person's done, because you're sipping on the straw, and then you start to get that sucking sound, and you know there's no water left. And then you pass it back to the person who is preparing it, and then I pour in more water and then pass it to the next person. It's just a social round, and you do it whenever you're talking. And
it's kind of nice that it's that instead of a cell phone.
Yeah.
Hold your mind.
They're carrying around.
So, like I said, I lived with an Uruguayan family. I lived with a host mother and sister. And I went to the high school.
What was the name of the city that you were in?
I was in a city called Minas. 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 And it was 2 hours from the capital of Uruguay, which is Montevideo. Yeah. And there's a map. She's a map. And I attended the local high school. And you, kind of like in college, when you pick a major, you pick something that you want to focus on. And I was in the art group, and a little bit different from here. There are two different times you can go to school. You can take the afternoon shift or you can take the evening shift. So I didn't start going to high school until 5 p.m. So I had my whole day free, and then I went to high school from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. And I had classes specific to art, like theater and music and drawing, and then I had. The basic classes that you take in 11th grade, which is math, literature, whatever. Mm-hmm. So at first I thought it was crazy to go to school at night when I would usually be getting ready for bed. But you get used to it, sleeping in the morning, staying up a bit later, getting your mind used to working at night.
Mm-hmm. How much Spanish had you had before?
I had a little Spanish. I had taken about a year of Spanish in the classroom, but obviously it's a lot different when you arrive and you have to speak it and you have to listen to the accent and how fast they speak. So I really didn't arrive with much, and it was a little hard in the beginning. You use a lot of gestures. Everyone is nice to you. They'll say something like thank you or whatever I'm learning in my English class.
Do they speak English decently?
No. Some people, there were a few that I met that could fully speak, but most people just know the common words, thank you, hello, that. But so it was hard in the beginning, but there was a point about halfway through where, because before I would speak, I would think of what I would want to say, and I would form sentences and think if there were any words that I were missing in my vocabulary, and it was this long thought process in my head before I could speak. I would have to take in whatever someone had said to me, process that, and then think of my answer too, which took quite a while. But there was a point about halfway through where it just became kind of natural, and there was one day where someone asked me a question, and I immediately responded just with something, and it freaked me out. I was so surprised. They're like, wow, your Spanish has gotten a lot better. I was like, I didn't know.
That's great. Is town of Mina in the really in the very rural area there?
It's about 2 hours from the capital, so it is a small city.
Is it MIN?
Yes, it's on the map. Yeah.
Yeah, it's on the map.
It's a small city, bigger than Chatham. And it wasn't in the rural area, because how it is along the border of Brazil and Argentina, there are a lot of small cities, and then down in the southern area by the coast, there are a lot of smaller cities, but still cities. And then in the middle, there's a lot of rural farm area.
Okay, what's the topography like there?
It's all really flat. There are no mountains. Most of it is very flat.
So did you ever get over into Argentina or Brazil when you were there?
When I was in Uruguay, there were about 30 other exchange students there, and we were with a program, with an agency. So there was a trip arranged, and we went to the small port city of Colonia, and from there you take a boat over to Buenos Aires in Argentina. So I did have a weekend in Argentina, which was very nice.
Do you have to compete to get into this program?
I wouldn't say use the word compete, but you send in an application with your grades, your interests,
mm-hmm.
a photo, a kind of like a biography, a letter of
yeah.
your intent, why you want to,
mm-hmm.
you have interest in the world or different cultures,
mm-hmm.
and then you are accepted. And the host families go through that same process. If you want to host a student, you show interest. They make sure your family's okay, that your house is okay. That it'll be okay for a student to live in the house. And then there's kind of the host family is the one to pick the student, so they will look through profiles of students and pick a student that they think will do well in their house, that will function in their house, have chemistry with the family. So I was picked by a mother and daughter. I lived in their house for 6 months. And
just a mother and daughter?
Yeah, just a mother and daughter. That's the other thing, is that there are all kinds of different families. You could be put in a family with the parents and 6 kids, or single parents, young parents, an older couple, or anything.
How old was the daughter?
The daughter was my age. She was 17.
Probably
my
age. Yeah, that's nice.
But you could be put in a family that has only younger children or no children. It depends.
Do you think you'll do something with this eventually?
Yeah, I would love to host a student in my house, or later on be a volunteer to help students come here, to help students from here go to other countries.
Mm.
It's all really interesting. And it was all something that I hadn't planned on, was learning about other cultures besides Uruguay, because obviously I learned a lot about how their country functions, but the other students were from all over Europe and from New Zealand, and so I learned a lot about Germany and Finland, Estonia, all these countries that I didn't expect to learn about as well.
So you're going to be in 12th grade now, right?
I will be going to 12th, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I will be homeschooled and going to community college.
Were you homeschooled before?
I was.
Yeah.
I've done a bunch of different things.
Yeah. So after that, then, do you have any idea what you want
to do? After that, I do want to do something international, something Spanish-speaking.
Uh-huh.
I have thoughts of becoming an English teacher in another country, or who knows what.
But your art was a big part of this, right? You said.
Oh, well, I picked the art section or the art major in high school.
So what music did they have there? The piano?
School was quite relaxed. There was nothing too strenuous or intense that we did, but we listened to a lot of classical music. We did exercises where we would sing scales while the teacher would play the piano. Pretty basic stuff, learning about the basic clef and easier things, but important things.
I don't know if you knew Schumann. At some time, one time. She's a little girl.
Have you had all the Achaeans?
He had Alice.
I know you had
Alice.
I didn't have. Oh no.
No, you had Alice.
I had Alice, right?
And you had Emma.
Emma.
And Emma. Okay. How was Alice? Yeah.
Alice, she's 13. She's doing really well.
She plays the trumpet now.
What?
She plays the trumpet.
Oh, she plays.
In the band. At
wow, makes
the
a lot of sound.
School. Yeah.
good.
How's the water doing?
That's water's boiled.
Okay, we can go ahead and.
I mean, it boiled a few minutes ago.
Okay.
Should I turn it back
you
on?
Can. No, no, it's fine.
Okay.
We can bring it over. So now we have the cool water has all settled in, and now we'll pour the hot water just on this side. I'll just pour in a bit in the beginning. Oh, this is. Oh, first I'll put in my thermos. That's what I meant to do. And we can put a bit of sugar in here as well. Just a bit. Just sweeten. So you have you pour your water into your big thermos. And it really is a big deal because people want to find really high quality thermoses. They get picky over which straw they buy and or the color of their mate or the type of mate that they have, depending on.
Good.
It is. It's a big deal. I'll just stir that a bit. And then you'll put the top. Pops up like that.
If you really like this, I sell it at the granary.
Oh, good job. When I run out of this.
Wouldn't that be something?
Or you can go the Weenie Way and get it in a tea bag.
So that includes the whole social part, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's a very selfish way to drink. That's right.
So then I'll take the first sip to make sure it's okay.
That's
how
right.
You do it.
And then you'll peel it.
It's a little hot, so let's be careful. So this is how it goes. They sip it, you're having a conversation, you finish, and you pass it around.
So what's better than smoking a pipe and passing it
around? I would think so. It's a little caffeinated, and traditionally people would have a little sweet or a biscuit with it, and we have a little sweet as well. It's not traditionally Uruguayan, but it's something like it. So then you start to hear that sound.
Oh,
and you know it's
these are good.
Coming
it's
toward the end.
I know where to get these.
Traditionally,
pirouettes, what they called, right?
Yes,
pirouettes. I know our whole story.
And then, once the first one's done, you just pour in a bit more water.
If you get to take the first sip, because you're always drinking tea that's too hot for a human being.
So whoever wants to go first? Anyone? Careful, it's a little hot on the lips, but
it's very good.
Yeah, if you want to just take one sip or.
I love this color. It's beautiful. Is that your own?
Oh, yeah, this is the one I bought in
nice
Uruguay.
Choice.
It's.
Hey.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's a little hot, but.
No, when you sip it, it's nice.
Yeah, if you're careful.
It's kind of neat. I mean, it tastes so green.
Yeah. Some people do say it tastes like pasture.
Yeah. Take another.
If it runs out of water, we can always
it's
put
like
it in
the
more.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Then the bitter.
And the
nice.
Bitter.
Nice.
It's a really nice combination.
Yeah. Is something familiar about it?
Something what?
Familiar about it.
You might have had it somewhere before.
Do you need more water?
No,
just
to like is that what you were saying?
Pasture.
It's a little bit like catnip.
Oh.
Okay.
The smell of it.
Yeah.
More than the taste. Dana. Take her. Thank you.
Take a picture of it.
Yeah. it's like to
you. Yeah, really, yeah, right.
Wait, let him keep holding it for a minute so she can take it.
Sometimes when you watch someone's face when they first try it, it's quite a surprise. Their face just kind of lights up. Tastes green?
Yeah,
a little more water?
A little more water, yeah.
Okay, well we can
you're
pass
sucking.
It.
Yep.
And then after a while you would pat down a few more leaves to keep it
getting stronger.
Yes.
You know, it's hot on your lips, but not too
but it's
hot.
Not too hot.
Yeah,
no,
not the tongue so much.
No.
The metal.
Not
yeah.
A lot comes out, so it's just.
Yeah.
Right.
Not being.
Maria or Jaina, would you like to try some? Come and try the mate. And it was also a big deal when I received mine, just because after 6 months of being there, they're like, oh, you're part of Uruguay. You're a little Uruguayan. And it was really special when they. A lot of my friends that I made at school gave it to me as a present, and it was a big deal to give me the mate and the straw and the tea leaves.
So are you writing anybody there? Or?
Writing?
Yeah, you know, are you in?
Oh yeah, we're in touch. The internet makes it very easy.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That's how I've been practicing my Spanish since I've been back. I'm writing a lot of emails.
So does anybody have any questions for Anna specifically about what it was like living there in Uruguay?
So what during the day when you were in school?
Would
the day be filled with?
A thing that they do when you get there is they ask you what are your favorite activities, what can we get you involved in? So I showed interest in sports. I wanted to be on a soccer team. Soccer is very popular there, but it's mostly boys who play soccer. Everybody watches, but...
Didn't Uruguay just win something?
Yeah. Also, the American Cup was on Sunday, the final of the American Cup, and Uruguay won, so they're the champions of America. And they also came in fourth place in the World Cup last year. But... So I wasn't on a soccer team because it's not that popular for girls to play, but I was on a handball team, which I actually, now I was really glad about that because it was a new sport that I had never experienced.
It's fast.
Yeah.
Fast.
It's some sort of mix of basketball and soccer, and it moves really fast, and it's really intense, and...
pretty hard in your hand, too.
Yeah. But that was a new experience for me. Everyone was really nice about me coming into that. I also did take Spanish lessons to improve while I was there. Improve my conversation skills. Part of a club that's kind of like a YMCA. So they had like a ping pong table, a little community library, a gym, a pool. So you got into all kinds of activities there. Thank you. I can fill it with more water. You can check it. I also. Here I'm a Girl Scout, so down there I got involved in Scouts too. We went on a camping trip. We had different activities that we did every week. I made lots of friends through that. So I was involved in that as well. And also, what I really enjoyed doing was, I had an English class at school, which seems silly for me to be part of, Annie, if you want to start listening. But I would help a lot of people with their English homework, and it also helped me with my Spanish, just thinking of the translating of English and Spanish in my head. And there was also an exams week where I helped a lot of people study, and I did a lot of studying. Another big part is just being part of the family. I lived next door to the grandparents, my host grandparents. So I would go to their house, we would just chat, have a mate or anything. Read the newspaper.
That happened a lot there, living with the families are really...
Yeah. Also, something that I noticed that was different from here is I had two host uncles that lived somewhere in the city, and they all had children, and most of the children were studying at the university in the capital, but they come home every weekend, and there's always a big family lunch on Sunday. So we saw all of the cousins every week.
Well, this time around is more bitter. Is that usual?
I'm not sure if there was more. Usually, well, when you don't add sugar, it's bitter more bitter the first time, because the leaves are really fresh and pungent.
Do any of the leaves actually get sucked up into the straw?
Occasionally, if there's if your straw gets broken or if the leaves are really really small, it does happen and it feels a little weird.
I just thought I made.
Yeah.
There's water over here.
Is Uruguay economically stressed at all, like so many?
Not so much. They're very self-sufficient. When you look at a package or the clothes, very often it does say made in Uruguay. I mean, they import and export, but all the produce you would ever get is from Uruguay. And so it's a small country, but they do really live off of themselves for the most part.
Off the land and a lot of farming.
Yeah, lots of produce, lots of farming.
Is that their main export produce?
I would say so. I'm not positively sure, but there's nothing big that they're known for exporting.
Any other questions?
The expert.
Would you like to end the talk with something that you could say to us in Spanish?
Oh, I don't know what to tell you in Spanish.
You could say, you know, good night and thanks for coming or something.
Oh, putting me on the spot.
That's all we can understand.
Fue un gusto para conocerles y gracias para escuchar y buenas noches.